Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. My name is Ed DaCosta, and today is Wednesday, March 30th, 2016, and this is one of a series of calls being conducted today by the six mentors of the John Maxwell team. So the expressed intent of these calls, as those of you that have been on some of the previous calls today know, is to give people an opportunity to get oriented to mentorship. And that certainly is my purpose. So just a few things, just administratively. First of all, congratulations to those of you that have made the investment in yourself and in the mentorship program. Obviously, you can take this in a somewhat self-serving way. I don't intend it in that way whatsoever, but congratulating you on investing in time spent with me and my peers, it can sound somewhat self-serving, but I don't mean it that way at all. I truly do believe that you've made a very, very wise decision, and I congratulate you sincerely and completely for that courage to invest in yourself. And again, we love all members of the John Maxwell team. I don't love people that didn't sign up for mentorship any less than I feel for those of you that made the investment. But I truly do feel badly for them. I don't mean in a pitiful way. I don't have pity on them. And I know many of them are in positions where they either don't require the support of the mentors, or they're in a position for whatever, financially or a certain season of their life that it just did not make sense to them. And so I wish them well, and to the extent that I have interaction with them, I will pour into them as heartily as I pour into you. It is my goal to serve everyone with every ounce of wisdom, knowledge, humor, challenging, that I've got in me. But the fact of the matter is the statistics don't lie. And that is the majority of these folks I will never interact with again. And we emphasize it, as some of you experienced just a few weeks ago in Orlando. We emphasize it over and over again that if you do not get involved in mentorship, it's essentially goodbye. And that doesn't mean we're going to, remove you from the Facebook page, and we're not going to talk to you if you hit *6 on a certification call. But there's 500, 600, 700 people on a certification call, and it's very, very difficult to have a relationship with someone that you only speak to, every few months. And so eventually people drift away, and it's just the sad truth of it. The opportunity is there, but the student isn't ready. And again, I'm not judging them. I'm not hating on them. I'm not suggesting that they're small-minded. I'm not criticizing them at all. I really do, have nothing but positive feelings and intentions and desires for them. But the fact remains that we'll get to know each other. Those of you that are on this call, that have been on the previous calls today, you will get to know us. For better or for worse, you're going to get to know us. Those of you that met me, that I met for the very first time in Orlando, you got a little edified, which is not exactly my word, but I've kind of taken ownership of it. Edified, of course, is a word meaning build up, to uplift. Think about the word edifice is a building, the front of a building. So to edify someone is to build them up, to uplift them. And, of course, the first two letters of the word are the same as the first two letters of my name. So I've kind of taken on that, and because I do truly believe that I exist in part to lift people up, whether it's by challenging them and getting in their face, which I am very prone to do. And again, it's with love in my heart, but sometimes a little bit of a growl in my voice. Whether it's to inspire them by my words or by my actions or by my belief in them. I love to inspire others. I love to entertain. I love to make people laugh. I am a clown. I've always been a clown. Ask anyone who had me in class when I was a young guy. I was a clown. And, you know, I'm about to go to my 35th high school reunion here in a couple of months. And some of the people that I haven't seen literally in 35 years since 1981. And I've gotten a few messages from them that's, you know, glad to see you're still a clown, which, of course, I still am. But I think that helps people lighten up a little bit. That helps people kind of take the edge off and laugh at themselves. And so I'm very, very comfortable with laughter and even self-deprecating humor because I'm a guy. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. I'm human. I have great faith in God who's perfect, and I know that I'm not God because I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not ashamed of it. No shame about it whatsoever. And the other is to educate. You know, I've been a lot of places, you know, done a lot of things, made a lot of good choices, made a handful of bad choices, and I've learned a number of things along the way that I'm perfectly happy sharing with other people to accelerate your growth, to accelerate your learning so that you can benefit from where I've come and where I've been. And that truly is the essence of mentorship, my friends. That's what it is. These orientation calls are just to kind of give you, you know, a taste of it. But, you know, we've already started. You know, I had nearly 5 hours of mentorship calls on Monday. Some of you probably were on some of those calls, probably not all of them. But so, you know, mentorship is up and running, and you've got at least 18 hours worth of opportunity to speak with one of your six mentors each and every week. Of course, we don't want you to be on 18 hours of calls or even anywhere close to that. It's access to us. It's access. There's not going to be all kinds of new content, although I do teach each and every week. But the core content that I'm responsible for in sales and marketing is available in the certification program and in the virtual sales bootcamp, which is a core part of my mentorship curriculum, if you will. We are in the middle of Cadre 6 of the virtual sales bootcamp. And again, it's just a metaphor. We don't yell at you. We're not making you do push-ups or run with a, you know, 50-pound rucksack on your back. Some of you are military. You know what I'm talking about. It's just a metaphor for hard work. That's why we call it virtual sales boot camp. You're going to work because in order to become a more effective seller, you've got to work. The next virtual sales boot camp will begin immediately following the August live training because the one that we're in right now ends at the end of May. We have tried to do a virtual sales boot camp in the summer before, and the problem is people can't sustain the effort for 12 weeks through the summer. Most people cannot. We've had between 100 and 250 people in each one of the six cadres. So it's been fantastic. So the first Saturday call, and so you will get, excuse me, not call, but video. There's 12 videos and accompanying worksheets. The first one will be Saturday, August 27th. And that will run 12 consecutive weeks, ending on Saturday, November the 12th. So it ends just prior to the beginning of the so-called, you know, the holiday season. Not so-called. It is the holiday season. So it'll end completely prior to Thanksgiving. And so the timing tends to work out better. For those of you that, you know, want to get involved in the virtual sales boot camp prior to that, you're not going to be able to. However, you can get on every single one of my mentorship calls every single week. And if you've got questions, if you've got obstacles, if you've got things that you know, you're not sure where to start in learning about the sales process, the sales conversation, you are more than welcome, in fact, highly encouraged to get on each and every one of my calls. It's typically a 20, 25-minute teaching. So if you just want to come on for the teaching, you can do that. And then you know, go about your day. Or if you want to stick around, the call typically goes two and a half, sometimes even longer, hours. Do not be passive, ladies and gentlemen. This is a season for you, most likely, where you got to be active. Don't sit and wait. Now, the Virtual Sales Boot Camp's got this military metaphor, and I'm wearing a, you know, I'm wearing a cover like a drill sergeant, and it's quote unquote in your face, but it's a video. It's not really me in your room, you know, in your home, in your office. Thank God, right? Most of you probably just said. It takes active participation in order for you to get the benefit. So before I go any further, I want to just talk to you just briefly about the importance of mentorship, why this is such an important decision. I don't want to belabor the point because you've already made the decision. One of the principles of selling is once the order's taken, stop selling. So it's not my goal to sell you. You've already bought in. But again, to deepen your commitment to this investment that you've made, this decision that you've made to become a part of the mentorship program, when I look back on my life, and I'm not going to give you my life story, but I was born, and oh, by the way, I'm in a really, really good mood right now because I am sitting in a hotel in Boston, Massachusetts. I woke up this morning in West By God, Virginia, where I live with my family, but I got on an airplane and I flew to Boston. And so I have a client that I will do an all-day leadership workshop tomorrow, and then I get to see my mom. My father passed away when I was 15 years old, and so my mom is living, but she is very ill, and so it's really cool that I've got clients up here in the Boston area. It's certainly not a coincidence. I deliberately created clients in Boston. And if I wanted to go to Houston or Denver or anywhere else on the planet on a regular basis, I could do that. And I could have clients pay me to do that. Why? Because I would target them and I would win their business. It's just that simple. I can make it sound more complicated than it is, but it's really not any more complicated than that. People say, wow, Ed, you're really lucky that you've got clients in Boston. No, I'm not lucky. I wanted to come here. And if I wanted to go somewhere else, I'd get clients there because everywhere on the planet needs what we've got. But anyway, I was raised probably 3 miles from where I'm sitting right now because I'm right in the theater district in downtown Boston, and I grew up in South Boston. And if any of you saw Good Will Hunting, The Departed, Boondock Saints, Black Mass, all of these movies, it seems like every few years there's a movie made, not in Boston, but in South Boston, in Southie. And Southie is a very famous community in the Boston area because it's blue collar, it's predominantly Irish, it's a rough neighborhood, or was in the 60s and 70s when I was there. It's not exactly upper middle class now, but it was, put it this way, there were some lower middle class people in South Boston, and they were the rich ones. Any of you know anything about heritage, know that DeCosta is not an Irish name. So I grew up surrounded by Irish kids, and the only Irish blood that I have in me comes from my fists and their fists on my face because they were the fighting Irish and I was the fighting Portuguese. So my two brothers, Jim and Michael, and I, we fought our way through the streets of that city. And that's not a cliche. That's not a metaphor. I'm not trying to make it out to be Vietnam or anything like that. But it was challenging. And we had to be aggressive. And we all are to this day. You know, I'm 53. My brother Jim is 52. Michael is 48. So we're middle-aged men now, but we're still, you know, we're all very, very aggressive guys. And when we get together, we're still competitive, just like we were when we were little kids. But when I look back on my life from that point till now, and it was greatly, greatly influenced by people who believed in me before I believed in me. I didn't even know what believing in me meant. I didn't. You know, one of the first things I said to my mother after my father died was that I was now the man of the household. It is utterly foolish to say, but I said it, and I meant it. I wasn't posturing. I thought I was. I thought I was in charge. And very soon after that, my father's brother, my Uncle Frank, came over to the house, and let's just say he made it abundantly clear that I was 15 and I was not the head of my household, that my mother was. And I walked with a limp, and I didn't sit down easily for a while. But my Uncle Frank took me under his wing. You know, my father was his older brother. My father was the oldest of seven. Frank was the next one in line, and I was the oldest son, and I was the challenging one. But anyway, my Uncle Frank took me under his wing, and when I look back on it, he mentored me. I had a baseball coach that mentored me. I had a high school math teacher that told me I was really smart. And he was one of the first people that ever said that to me. And I thought I was smart, but I didn't really believe it until this man, Ralph Wellings, convinced me that I was and I could be an engineer. And when I look through my life, there's got to be a dozen people that for a wide variety of reasons took a liking to me and helped me and guided me and encouraged me and challenged me and got in my face. And I am so grateful to those people. And I'm so thankful. And I am where I am today because of other people, because of what they caused in me. That's mentorship. Even today, I have a coach. I spend in excess of $80,000 a year in my own personal development, going to programs, going to conferences. I'm going to one in July in Las Vegas. Anybody who's been to Las Vegas in July knows you've got to be an idiot to go to Las Vegas in July. And I'm not a gambler. I don't gamble at all. Last bet I placed, I would think I was 20. It was, you know, over 30 years ago. Since my last bet. So I don't go to Vegas to bet, but I'm going to learn. And I do 1 or 2 weeks a year, and I also have a coach. So I am a big believer in mentoring and in coaching and having people guide you. And I'm also blessed to be surrounded. My inner circle has changed dramatically since I met Paul Martinelli in July of 2010. I was doing great. My business was great. My kids were great. I mean, life was good. It was very, very good. I had a full practice, 16 paying clients, multiple six-figure income. I was doing great. And Paul Martinelli blew my mind, just as he's blown many of your minds in the very same way. What if I could make your annual income into your monthly income? I initially rejected it. I thought he was selling me something in the negative sense of the word selling. I thought he was BSing me. Of course, he wasn't. And I didn't necessarily trust, but I trusted a little bit, and I verified. And I met with John, and I met Scott, and a long conversation via Skype with Christian Simpson before I'd ever met him. The first time I was ever in the same room with Christian Simpson was at the first live training in August of 2011. The first time I ever shook hands with Roddy Galbraith was at the first live event in August 2011. First time I ever met Melissa West was then. She was single, not a mom. Now she's married with a child, beautiful Olivia, and another one on the way. First time I met her was August 2011. I met Scott and John the same day in January, or maybe February 2011. So the first one that I met was Paul. These people have now become my inner circle. I talk to them all the time. You look through my texts. My text thread, you know, you can all look at your phone and look at who texts you. It's my kids, it's my family, and those six people. Five, I'm texting myself. I've actually gotten a few calls and texts from John. Not many. But I'm a big believer in the law of the inner circle and in pouring into other people because I've been the beneficiary of it. You've also made a wise, wise investment because of the value of what you're getting. You wanted to hire, if you wanted to hire me as a coach, which would be a great decision, it would cost you $25,000. $25,000. And I got plenty of clients. And you would get 1 hour a week of me. 1 hour a week for $25,000. And, of course, you're getting 3 hours a week. It's not one-on-one. I grant you that. But it's the same me. The same guy, and you're getting it for $3,000 for the whole year, so one-eighth, less than one-eighth of the money, and oh, by the way, you're getting Christian Simpson, Roddy Galbraith, Melissa West, Scott Fay, and Paul Martinelli to boot, and throwing a bunch of calls with John Maxwell, the number one leadership guru on the freaking planet. The first conversation, serious business conversation, aside from the contract negotiation, my contract with Paul. Aside from that, the first business conversation we ever had was about pricing of the John Maxwell team. And suffice it to say, what Paul and John decided was like a fraction of what I told them that they should charge. Not only for certification, but also for mentorship. And I showed him the data. I'm like, Paul, it's worth way more. And he never argued with me. And I thought, okay, he gets it. He gets it. Smart guy. He came out and he said, $3,000. I said, $3,000? How could it be $3,000? $3,000 per mentor? So 18 grand? He said, no, $3,000 for everybody. I'm like, you're nuts. Trust me. I don't want to trust you. He said, well, it's my company. Okay, I trust you. You think I'm oversimplifying it? I'm not. It was very much that way. If Paul were on this call, he'd tell you the exact same thing. And I'm great friends. One of my best friends is his brother, one of his two brothers. I know his sister Jeannie. I know his brother TR. But his brother David is one of my best friends. And I told David, I said, your brother's nuts. He said, tell me about it. I know he's nuts. I've known him longer than you have. Of course he's nuts. But he's a genius. He's a genius. It doesn't take a genius to charge one-fifth what you should charge for something. He said, but Paul has a sense of these things. But Paul has no sense. He's way underpricing this. He says, Ed, you want in or you don't want in? I said, no, I want in. But, man, we're just leaving a bunch of money on the table. That's a real conversation. And, of course, here I am, 6 years later, and I was wrong. Paul was right. John was right. We don't have 10,000 people in the John Maxwell team for no reason. So when I look at the investment that you've had to make and the not only the amount of material, the content, but also the caliber of the people you get to listen to, It is mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. I can imagine if I was a guy in my 20s, 30s, or even my 40s, having a group of thinking partners of this caliber when I was starting my business. That's the police going by. As far as I know, they are not looking for me. Anyway, the caliber of the knowledge and the heart. It's not just the knowledge. It's not just the wisdom. There's a lot of smart people out there. There are a lot of great coaches. There are a lot of great speakers. There are a lot of people who have read John's books and are very persuasive. You're not going to get anybody better than the people on this faculty. And I know, when I say that, I always have a little voice in my head that says, man, that sounds self-serving. But it's true. And again, take me out of it. Take me out of it. I'm not talking about Ed. I'm talking about the others. You know, when Melissa tells her story about transitioning from a corporate IT job to become a coach, very, very few people can have done that successfully. I went to the best coaching school there was at the time. There were 9 people in my class, 9. We got together after we graduated, 1 year after we graduated. And one of the people had emailed and wanted to know how much we were earning. And I earned more in year one than the other 8 combined. And then they stopped asking the question. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that they didn't know how to sell, that they couldn't sell. These were very, very capable coaches. And oh, by the way, Melissa West, she went to the very same school. The woman can coach. But to make that transition from corporate IT gal out to the real world of executive and life coaching and make a living, most people don't do it. They don't make the transition. And that's a warning shot to all of you as well. Getting your certification, associating yourself with John Maxwell, that's wonderful. Note the absence of people lined outside your door ready to hand you money. That is not the way it works. You've got to go build your business. It's an active process. It is not a passive process. You sit on your ass and you stare at the phone and nothing's going to happen. And I know I just said a bad word. I shouldn't have, but you've heard it before. You got to be active. If you're passive, you will fail. It's not a matter of whether you fail, it's just how fast you fail. You've got to have a plan. You've got to begin with a plan. Stephen Covey taught us, so many others have as well. Begin with the end in mind. What's your goal? Don't give me some platitude about skinny, rich, and happy. Skinny, rich, and happy is not a goal. It's a pipe dream. I'm talking about a plan for a very specific set of criteria in your life on a date certain. Today's March 30th, 2016. Where are you going to be March 30th, 2019? 36 months from now, 3 years. Not 20 years from now, not next Tuesday, 36 months from now. Maybe for you it's 24 months. Pick a date certain, and then you tell me what your goal is. Imagine your life at that time. What does it look like? What are you doing? Are you doing lunch and learns? Are you doing masterminds? Are you facilitating corporate offsites? I do quite a number of them, about 15 of them a year. Are you doing corporate training? Tomorrow, as I've already mentioned, I'm going to be in with a high-tech company on Route 128 in Boston. I'm going to run them through a series of exercises on crisis management, leadership in times of challenge. And I make more money tomorrow than I used to make in a month, much more. And they're glad to pay it. Why? Because I know what I'm doing. So if you don't begin with a plan, a specific plan, like I asked people, I asked a group yesterday. Today's Wednesday. I'm losing track of days. How many of you have goals? About half of them half-heartedly raised their hand. I said, none of you have goals. Nobody that has a goal half-heartedly raises their hand. I said, show me your goals. I get this puzzled look. What do you mean, show me? How can I show you my goals? I don't know. And I opened up my planner, and I showed them my goals for 2016, laminated. So I'm flicking it back and forth, making that, you know, that sound you can make with a laminated piece of paper. I said, here's my goals. Where are yours? You know, you can imagine the looks on their faces. So if I was sitting in a room with you, over 100 people, and I said, take out your goals and hold them over your head, would you be giving me that sheepish look, looking at the ground, looking around you to see if anybody at your table in your row is holding their hand up with goals, laminated or not? And if the answer is no, you wouldn't have them, Ed, well then what are you going to do about it? How long is it going to take you to create your goals? It's a visioning exercise. It's a visioning exercise. Jim Rohn said it. If you don't have a plan for your life, you're going to fall into somebody else's plan for your life. And you know what other people have planned for your life? Not much. Think about it. How many people, if you don't have goals for your life, do you have goals for anybody else's life? Seriously, do you have written goals for anyone else's life? The closest I've ever heard of anybody doing that is a new mom or a new dad. You have a baby, you have all kinds of, maybe you haven't written them down and laminated them, but you want your child to be well-adjusted and healthy and happy and self-actualized and you know, you want all those things for your children. I have three children. I would give up my life in a New York second to save my kids, any one of them. And I'm not saying I'm any different than you are. But that's it. That's the end of the list. I don't have a plan for my brother Jim or Michael, and I love them too. I've never even given it a second thought until now. And if I called them and say, what is your plan for me? They'd laugh at me. They don't have a plan for me. Nobody's got a plan for you. So you need a plan for you. And this is a huge benefit of being in the mentorship program, because we have just now become connected in a deeper, more profound way. I want to be in your inner circle. I want to be that voice in your head. And oh, by the way, there are thousands of JMTers who sometimes playfully, sometimes not so playfully, say, Ed, I can't get you out of my head. I can't get you out of my head. I was on the beach with my family, and everybody's laying out in the sun, and I lay down in the sun, and within 2 minutes, I'm antsy. I can't lay out in the sun. It's just the antithesis of who I am. Like, I don't mind getting a tan. I think it's healthy to have a tan and all that. But you can get a tan, like, moving. I just can't lay down. And my wife made me promise, all right, I'll lay out. Within 5 minutes, she's like, all right, fine, go do something. You're driving me nuts. I can't sit still. And so I infect people with that, and some people don't like it, and that's okay. If I'm not your cup of tea, hang up the phone. I'm not going to call you. You can leave the call right now. Call Scott. Call Roddy. Call Christian. Call Paul. Call Melissa. They're wonderful people. They'll challenge you too. I'm not in any way trying to make it out that I'm the only one that'll challenge you. That is certainly not the case. They'll all challenge you as well. But they're not going to challenge you in the way I challenge you. I promise you that. I'm not saying I do it in any better way. It's just very much a Southie way. The closest is Paul, because he's a South Side of Pittsburgh guy. You know, I can't tell you how many times people come up to me at a live training and give me a hug and say, thank you for your teaching, Paul. And half of the time I just say, you're welcome. I don't even clarify it. I had somebody come up to me probably 3 years ago to complain about Ed, and they thought they were talking to Paul. And I just said, I know, I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him. I just covered my name tag so they wouldn't know they were actually talking to Ed. But anyway, you got to model certain behaviors in order to get where you want to go. And I'm not suggesting that I'm some future version of you. Heaven help you. But I have done a lot in this industry. And I've made a bunch of mistakes, and I've learned from them all. And my inner circle the last 5 years has been amazingly challenging to me. Because even though I've been on some great corporate teams, I've been the leader of the team. I've risen fast in every area I was in engineering, in corporate development, when I got an MBA, and then I got into sales and marketing. Went right through. Why? Because I have a personality. I'm not afraid. I'm not nervous. I love people. And that's worked for me. It's worked very, very well for my life. But when I got in this group of people, man, I got to run hard to keep up. That's the truth. And I've never felt that way before. Like, my family has commented on it. Like, yeah, they're just as good. Some of them are better than you are. Christian's a far better coach than I am, and I'm an awesome coach. I've never heard of anybody that knows more about human nature, the coaching process, and how to help people move from point A to point B than Christian Simpson. And that's the God's honest truth. It's not false modesty on my part. He's just better. I mean, it's like, you know, NBA players back in the Michael Jordan's era. You know, you don't get in the NBA if you can't play. You know, they can all play. They're all great athletes. They're all amazingly gifted human beings. And then they watch Michael Jordan, and you just go, well, yeah, he's better. Yep, he's better. I don't even know what he just did. I don't know how he did it. It's really not supposed to be possible. That's Christian Simpson to me. Roddy Galbraith, how he teaches speaking. It blows my mind. When I go to the live training, I listen to his opening vignettes every time. I don't think I've ever missed one. I laugh at the same joke over and over and over again because his delivery is impeccable. When he shows the chart of the payoff points, I am in awe every time. He understands it so well. It's got to be 4 years ago. I'm having a conversation with Roddy after the live training. I said, you know, Roddy, just so cool that you're able to deliver it with such consistency. He says, Ed, it's just preparation. It's just preparation. He's encouraging me. And I said, well, you just prepare for every conversation? He says, oh, yeah. I said, do you have a chart of the conversation you and I are having right now? Like, are you going to show me a PowerPoint slide of me asking you if you have a PowerPoint slide? And he says, no, as far as you know. I kind of wondered. He is utterly amazing. Melissa and Scott, from the best entrepreneurs on the faculty, and their leadership program, which, oh, by the way, starts up again in April, 5 weeks. They're amazingly gifted individuals, hearts of gold. In fact, if you rated us all on kindness, well, I know I'd be number six. Paul would probably be number five. I don't know who would be numbers one through four, but it would be Roddy, Christian, probably Christian number four, and then Roddy, Scott, and Melissa, one, two, three. I don't know how. Not that the others aren't kind, but they're just at another level. Scott knows John's material better than John knows John's material. And John has actually said that. He knows his material, John does. But Scott knows it even better. It's unbelievable. You're trying to grow a business. You want people to invest in themselves by hiring you to come into their organization or to help them personally. You've got to invest in yourself, and you have. You're a product of the process as well. You're modeling it with your behavior. When I meet coaches, one of the first questions I ask is, who's your coach? And if they look down, I know they don't have a coach. And to me, it's the essence of hypocrisy. How can you be a coach and believe in coaching and not have a coach? When I moved to West Virginia, when my wife's father got ill, and Linda wanted to move to West Virginia, and I complied. I wasn't happy about it. It worked out, and I'm glad we did it. It was good for our family. But it took quite a bit. It took quite a bit to make that move. But I remember speaking with other coaches who did not have coaches. And because I had heart surgery when I was a kid, I'm on blood pressure meds, and so I have to see a cardiologist every 6 months. I'm fine. I'm healthy, but, just part of the condition I was born with. There's nothing I can exercise my way out of. I've been told that over and over again. Anyway, there was a guy who graduated from high school with my wife who's a cardiologist. I didn't know him. Graduate from high school with my wife. If I go in to see him, he's got to be 300 pounds, 5'6", 300 pounds. Cardiologist. He's a cardiologist. I meet him, charming guy, nice guy, sweetheart of a guy. I can't get it through my head. I can't get it out of my mind. He's got me on a treadmill. I get an EKG. He's doing all the, he's a great cardiologist. I now know the guy, but he's not my cardiologist anymore. Why? Because I can't get it through my head. How can you be a cardiologist and allow yourself to get into that shape cardiovascularly? And you think I'm judging him, and maybe I am. And he's a wonderful guy, but not going to be my cardiologist. I don't need you to be, an ultra marathon runner, but I need you to just show you believe what you do, what you say. Here you are telling people diet and exercise and eat right and all of that. And do you not do that yourself? How invested are you in this? Anyway, before I open up the queue, to Q&A, let me just tell you, what you're going to get from me is a sales manager, a sales leader, a sales coach. I'm going to demystify the sales process. I'm going to help you fight your way out of challenging situations. And sales is about perseverance. You're going to get told no a lot, a lot. And you got to go to the next person with a smile on your face. You cannot become Debbie Downer or Danny Downer because somebody told you no. You got to keep at it. You got to keep working. You can sell. I promise you can sell. I can teach you how, and I can help you navigate it. Doesn't mean you're going to win every order. You're not going to win every order. You're going to lose a lot of them. I still lose them. But that's happiness, is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Forget who said that. Somebody brilliant. I like it. Okay, my friend, *6 gets you into the queue. I am in my favorite city. I don't know how long. I'll probably take calls for 20, 30 minutes or so, depending on how many people are in the queue. So if you've got a question for me, *6, and I would just ask you, and this is This is maybe not typical of the other mentors, but please, no backstory, okay? Just in the interest of time. You ask a question. If I need backstory, I'll ask you for it. I'll ask you for the backstory. Please do not start with, you know, it was a Wednesday night. I was wearing my lucky, you know, blue sneakers, and I went in to talk to this guy. His name was Phil. You know, I hit, you know, traffic, the three red. I mean, I'll mute you and go to the next person. So it doesn't mean you have to, like, you know, quickly blurt out the question. I want to talk to you, but please, easy on the backstory. Okay? Thanks a lot. So first up, area code 321, you're on with Ed DaCosta. Who am I speaking with?
Ed, this is William or Bill Preferred in Florida. My question is simply this. I have my goals, and they're in writing. One of my goals is to expand where I go globally as well as in the United States. And I thought about what you said about developing business in Boston. If you wanted to go to Houston, you'd do that. How do you make that happen if you really don't have a lot of contacts in those areas? What do you do to grow outside of your geographic area?
Yeah, so there's a long answer to that. I'll give you a couple of bullet points. Number one, get on LinkedIn. Get on LinkedIn. Get a paid account. Get a paid account and look for people in that area.
Okay.
If you have direct contacts there, which will be one, you know, first degree connections on LinkedIn, wonderful. Start there. If you don't, if they're twos, go find people that you want to meet. That sounds like a circular argument, Bill. I get that. But it's not. If I told you, I mean, you want to go globally, give me a place. You want to go to Paris? Where do you want to go? Shanghai?
Malaysia.
Malaysia. Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. So you want to go to Malaysia. You know there's a bunch of JMTers from Malaysia.
Yes.
You do know that. Do you know any of them?
I do not know any of them. I know there are, but I don't know any of them.
Okay. Well, step one. Step one, Bill, is to go connect with the JMTers that are from Malaysia and let them know. And, Bill, where's home for you right now?
Florida, originally Wisconsin.
Okay. So you're a transplanted cheesehead down in the sunny climes of Florida. Wonderful.
Absolutely. Yep.
The Malaysian people, and I know a little bit about Malaysia, not a lot, been there one time, absolutely delightful, cheerful, wonderful people. I'm guessing you've been there, otherwise, you know.
It's, my wife's Malaysian.
You have been, okay, so, well, then there you go. There's at least one that likes you too, okay? So, you know, I'm sure your wife has family in Malaysia. You can use those family ties. Again, and probably all over the world this is true, but particularly in Asian cultures, family ties are so deeply rooted, so deeply rooted. So, you know, your wife's family, her close friends back in Malaysia, but also JMTers. They would love nothing more than to collaborate with a Wisconsin Floridian. Nothing more. And again, you don't need all of them to do it. You know, if you go to Malaysia from time to time to visit your wife's family, plan it ahead. I'm sure you do anyway. Plan an event. Plan some workshops. The next time you're going to Malaysia, guess what? You're going to see family, but you're doing three workshops. There's quite a number of them that speak English.
Okay.
They don't have to pay your travel. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and maybe this is for about the speaker lane, but it certainly is overcoming the translation issues that I look at relative to, like John shared. He'll tell a story. By the time it's translated, he's forgot the punchline or something.
He's saying that to be funny because that's not necessarily true. And John, I've been in Costa Rica where John was the morning and I was the afternoon, and he didn't forget any punchlines. Believe me, he didn't forget any punchlines.
Well,
and half of the Costa Ricans spoke English anyway, so they laughed before the other half did, before they heard the translation.
Okay.
So John was fine, and you will be too. I promise you, Bill, you will be too. But, you know, here we are in March. You know what? We're going in October. October. You know, pick a time. We're going in November. I'm going to be in Malaysia for 3 weeks. I want to do 5 events. I want to talk to JMTers. And just go make it happen. Make it happen. Get on LinkedIn. Find out who's connected to the JMTers. Have them give you favorable introductions. One of our American colleagues is married to a Malay. He's coming. And he would love to give you a uniquely American perspective. I mean, again, there's a lot of people not from the U.S., and there's people who, of course, don't like the United States. The vast majority of the world has nothing but massive respect, maybe not for the politicians and for the entire country, but for Americans. I've been all over the world. I've never been treated rudely because I've been an American. You know, I mean, I was given the runaround by a Parisian cab driver once, but, you know, it was a Parisian cab driver, you know. I'm glad he did it. Gave me a nice story. But that's it. Everywhere else I've been.
That's a great starting point. I appreciate it.
All right, man. You're very welcome.
Great. Thank you.
See you. You're welcome. Next up, area code 775. This is Ed DaCosta. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Area code 775-720. Hello? If you're speaking, you've got your line muted. Hello? Okay. I'll try you back in a little bit.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes. Who am I speaking with? Yes.
You're speaking with Clifton Macklin in Carson City, Nevada.
Hi, Clifton. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. My question very quickly is, with a new prospective client, how can you quickly identify their pain that they're willing to pay you to help them solve?
Sure. How familiar, on a scale from 1 to 10, Clifton, are you with the spin selling model? Scale from 1 to 10. 1 is I've never heard of it. 10 is I could teach the course.
At this point, I'll say 1.
Okay. So that's really low. So the spin selling model, which I teach in the curriculum in the certification program, and oh, by the way, it's a book by Neil Rackham, and there's a workbook that comes with it. You can buy it on Amazon. It's a powerful book. It's hardly the only sales model out there. But SPIN is an acronym, Situation, Problem, Implication, Need.
Yes, I've read it.
Okay, terrific. Okay, so the need is what they're going to be spending money on. But you gotta warm them up. You can't just say, what do you need? How much money you got? It's not the way it works. Mm-hmm. You know that, Clifton.
Yes.
So situation, problem, implication, need is a very natural flowing sales conversation. It's not like, you know, you're in with a couple of police detectives, you know, with a light above your head and, you know, you're not being, you know, it's not the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes.
Very conversational. That is the simplest way, and I've done it for 20 years, more than that.
Yes.
That kind of model. You begin easy with situation, what's going on, what are the biggest challenges you're facing? What are the biggest challenges? If you could wave a magic wand and fix one thing, what would it be? What keeps you up at night? We used to ask that all the time back in the day. What keeps you up at night?
Yes.
You know, what's the biggest opportunity you're facing? There's many, many ways to get to it. And then once they tell you that, now, why is that an issue? How does that manifest itself? What are the biggest, you know, what are the biggest pain points that come from that? Help me understand. I'm curious. I read an article that says that the average in your industry is this. How does that impact you? It's a very natural conversation. And then ultimately, you get to them describing a need and say, well, what have you done about it thus far? This has been a need for how long? Oh, it's been a need for in excess of 10 years. What have you done to try to address that in the past? How has that worked out for you?
Okay.
And at a certain point, and it doesn't happen this way all the time, Clifton, but I'm telling you most of the time, it gets them to the point where if you're really listening and you're locked into what they're saying, they can tell you are. They can see it in your face. They're going to say, they're going to, like Jimmy Stewart, they're going to fall to their knees and say, Doc, can you help me, Doc?
Yeah.
Not exactly that way. But they're going to say, you know, what do you think?
Yes.
What do you think? And
yes.
You're going to scratch your chin. You're going to put your head on your hand on your forehead. You're going to say, you know, I've seen worse. There's some things we can do. It all rises and falls on leadership. You got to pour into your people.
Yes.
And that ultimately, and I am not oversimplifying it. I promise you, my friend.
I understand.
It's very conversational. And then they say, well, how would we get started? How could we get started? Well, Give me a sense of your appetite. I could send you a proposal for $250,000. My guess is that's too big. I could also give you a proposal for $200, but that means you get to call me on the phone once, you know, and that's not going to be enough. So give me a sense of your appetite. I don't know.
Okay.
Could you handle $30,000, $50,000, $75,000? Give me a sense of your appetite for change for the rest of 2016, because it makes no sense for me to give you a proposal that's way beyond your appetite.
Right.
Like little kids, you know, putting 20 scoops of ice cream on their plate. We know they're not finishing and they're going to be vomiting later, okay?
Right.
And by the way, I have said that more times than I can count. I've said those exact words that I just said to you about little kids and ice cream.
Yes.
People laugh, they say, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, so what would be a number? What would be a number that would work?
Yes.
And they say, well, I don't know. What could you do for 50 grand? What could you do for 50 grand? Well, we could do a number of things. We could do some lunch and learns. I could do some one-on-one coaching. Let's talk about where the point of the spear should be placed. What is the number one thing you would want to change? Oh, we've got issues in this department. Okay, so let's start here. Crawl, walk, run. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a proposal that involves coaching this leader and doing some workshops for that team. And we'll do coaching will be every week, and we'll do one workshop a month for 6 months, and I can squeeze that under your $50,000 appetite. Does that sound like it makes sense to you? Sounds like a plan. Boom.
Yes.
Guess what you just did, Clifton? You just got a $50,000 order.
Yes. Okay. Ed, relative to your initial question to me, I did thoroughly listen to your sales program during the certification. I just need to return to it and immerse myself in it.
No problem. No, believe me, I'm not trying to, you know, belittle you or anybody else. There's so much content.
You haven't done that. I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate your answer, and I really appreciate you.
You bet, and I appreciate you right back, my friend. It's a bromance, okay? We'd be fist bumping,
gotcha.
All right? Good to talk to you, my friend. See ya.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next up, area code 303. I do believe that is Colorado.
It is, Ed. Thank you for the opportunity.
Who am I speaking with?
It's Carlos Diaz.
Carlos Diaz. How are you, Carlos?
Great, Ed. Thank you.
Are you in Denver?
I am in Denver, yes.
So how can I help you?
Well, I am in the financial services business, and I've been there for 28 years, and I want to continue. It's a great business. My challenge is to grow on my salesmanship and, be a better advisor, help more people. And also, I have the opportunity to hire and train other advisors, and it's a huge industry, a lot of opportunities, and I just want to get better at being able to help people with my services and grow a team of other people, and it's a wonderful things that GMT offers, and I want to take advantage. So what would you suggest to start with?
Are you saying that you do not want to provide the services yourself? You want to be the facilitator of the services, kind of a matchmaker between the service providers and the clients?
I want to directly be involved in helping people, as I have been doing it for the last 28 years, you know, working with individuals, families, business owners, providing a financial plan for financial freedom, and at the same time, train other advisors to do the same, you know, building a team. So personally, I'm in the field helping individuals, families with the financial plan to achieve financial freedom. And I want to also, I have the opportunity also to hire other people and train them to be advisors and build a team in such a way that we reach out to people. And so I want to use the GMT's wonderful opportunities. And my question was, where do you think I should start?
Yeah, so you got to start by becoming visible in the community. You know, they know you based upon your experience in the financial services industry. They do not know you from a leadership standpoint. They do not know you as a source of personal and professional development. And as you and I have talked about before, Carlos, you know, they're going to be skeptical of you. They are going to, frankly, some of them are not going to trust you, because they're going to think that you are immediately going to try to get them to invest money. And so you've got to make it abundantly clear. You've got to make it literally, like, own it right up front. You know, this is not Carlos Diaz, the financial services man. This is, Carlos Diaz, the leadership development guy. And so this is a pitch-free, you know, opportunity for you. So the first step is visibility. Get out there. Get into your chamber of commerce. Get in a B&I chapter. Give free lunch and learns. Go to your Lions Club, your Rotary Clubs, your any kind of animal group you can find. Okay, you know, talk to as many people as you can to get them to start to see you not as just another, and I don't mean this in a belittling way at all, but not just another financial guy. You're a guy that has more to bring to the table than financial instruments.
And then how do I get to create more financial services business?
So which is it? What do you want, Carlos? Because if you want to create more financial services, then they're right. They're right that you're just doing this leadership thing in order to get them to invest more.
I want to build relationships. I want to get to know them and then offer my financial services. Is that possible?
It is possible, but you've got to really hone in on what your message is. Is your message that you are diversifying? So there's the financial services area of what you do, and there's the leadership development stuff. And they're two different kind of similar offerings, but they're different. Or is it that you just want, it is fundamentally financial services, but you're just kind of bring more to the table because you're going to talk to them about leadership? Because if it's that second one, Carlos, I've seen people try it, and I've not seen it work. For example, if I'm an electrician and all of a sudden I decide I'm going to become a carpenter too, guess what? It doesn't work because people know you as an electrician. They want a carpenter to do their carpentry. They don't want an electrician who's doing it on the side.
So what you are saying is one or the other.
It's either one or the other, or you have a direct involvement in one and an ownership role in the other.
So explain to me that I want to do my financial services my main business.
Then I would just use this coaching and leadership material to help you in your relationship building skills and not do any training. I wouldn't. I would just use the content in order to be a better relationship builder.
And what would be the best way to accomplish that?
Well, again, it's similar to what I said before. You've got to network. You've got to be visible in the community. You've got to be visible. They've got to know you as a giver, not a taker. So, for example, volunteering your time for causes, being involved in the United Way or other charitable organizations. People need to see you as a source of compassion for other people who, oh, by the way, happens to be a very successful financial services guy as well.
So the GMT programs can help me get into this giver, compassionate.
Absolutely. It absolutely can. It absolutely can. All right, I'm going to go to the next caller. Carlos, wonderful to speak with you. Keep getting on my mentorship call. I look forward to continuing our conversation. Okay, my friend?
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, very welcome. Donata. Next up, area code 706. You're on with Ed DaCosta. Who am I speaking with? Hello, you're on with Ed. If you're talking,
Hello.
You've got your line muted. Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hi, it's Denise Rogers.
Hey, Denise, how are you?
I'm well, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Good to speak with you. How can
you
I help
too.
You?
Well, I was in your class, and I'm really very drawn to going down your lane. I've sold aluminum and steel cans for 25 years in the beverage and food industry. And
no kidding.
And because I had to leave and come home for a family member, I find myself in Chicago, and I have started a long-term care insurance business. And I did that before the Maxwell go-around. And what I'm finding is it's all phone work. And I don't mind the cold calling. I've done it for years, but it's also selling on the phone in this group that I'm in. And I just, maybe I'm like you because I've always been out traveling and going to companies. I'm going crazy with the restriction on being in one place in my house all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, life gives you clues, right? Doesn't it? Life gives you clues. I remember when I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be an engineer. My father was a construction worker, and we went to construction sites with him when we were little kids, and he taught us about the engineers, and they were the smart guys with the hard hats that went in. They carried the drawings, and I wanted to be an engineer so badly. And when I look back, it was because my father admired engineers, and I went to mechanical engineering school, did very well. I got in a cube at Texas Instruments, and within 6 months, I'm like, I hate this. I hate this. It's like, okay, I got to do something. I need to get out and talk to people. And my boss was like, what are you talking about? Go back to your cube and do the math. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
There I was. I'm 23 years old, and I'm, you know, spent all this time. So, you know, if you're feeling that way, I mean, life is giving you some clues. You've got to move to something else.
Now, the boss I have or the guy I'm working with, he says, okay, go ahead. Go visit the people. Or if you want to go speak about long-term insurance in front of people, that's fine. But you're going to only do half as much money as you could do.
Okay, then are you connected with this man who said this nonsense to you, like on LinkedIn or Facebook or anything else?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's what you do. Okay, and oh, by the way, the rest of you, I'm not going to take very many more calls, but you're getting, this is Ed DaCosta Mentorship, and you're not going to hear this from any one of your mentors, the other mentors, I promise you. They would all be laughing. They would fall off their chairs at what I'm about to tell you to do. You get this man's picture. You get his picture, and you copy it.
I have it.
You download it.
Okay,
get his picture, and you put it on a piece of paper, or you get it in a Word document or a PowerPoint document. You know, and then you as closely as you can, you write his quote. You write it, and you put a date as closely as you can remember when he said it. Okay.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So it depends on how aggressive you want to be. You could do one of two things. The simple one is to just print it and put it where you can see it. Just print it. What I would do is I'd mail him one, okay? I'd mail him one, okay? And then I would say, I'm buying you lunch 1 year from that day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not making half, you're buying me lunch. And I wouldn't call him what I was thinking about calling him, because that would be mean.
Is that okay? I like it.
Okay? Does that help?
Yes. That helps, because I'm really struggling of whether I should leave it all together. So that's really a good plan. Thank you, Ed.
Denise, wonderful to speak with you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to end it right there. I know there's others on the call. I have a hard stop. I'm actually in. So I thank you guys for being here. Welcome to Mentorship. Those of you that are renewed, welcome back. I'm glad you're here, and I'll see many of you on the call on Monday. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
Have a great time in Boston.
Bye. Bye.